Okay, everybody, this is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. Today's guest, we have Ishmael Robles, former world champion kickboxer, full contact fighter, and point karate. Also, let's get this show rolling on the road.
WTFRadio.me, underground and over the top radio.
All right, everybody, this is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm speaking to Ishmael Robles from Gallatin, Texas. Ishmael, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Great to hear from you.
Great. Ishmael is a former world champion kickboxer. Also, he was a United States champion kickboxer. Plus, he was a boxer, and he also fought in point karate also. Tell everybody a little bit about your history and how you got into fighting. Didn't you start boxing first? Is that right?
Yeah, as a young child at 8 years old, I started boxing with the Boys and Girls Club, and I had a lot of great trainers. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't big enough or strong enough to fight it, I mean, to participate like in football or baseball or basketball. So boxing was pretty much my sport. And as I grew older, I was always fascinated with it. A friend of mine named Jesse Benavides took me to a karate demonstration one time, and I saw the guys and what they were able to do and the kicking aspect of it. I decided, boy, this is for me. So right when I was graduating high school in 68, I decided to join the karate class and did really, really well, fought my first tournament after only 2 weeks and took a first place. So I figured, well, this is for me. I went off to college, Lamar University in Beaumont, and I trained there with Fred Simon, a very well-known instructor. And eventually got my black belt through the United States Karate Association. I was competing in karate tournaments and doing pretty well, making a lot of good friends in Dallas. You were one of them. And ended up, when I was getting ready to graduate college, I got a call from Demetrius Vanis, the Greek, who told me that I should come up and be on their team because they were putting together a full contact team, kickboxing team, to fight the LA Stars. And so finished up college in December and went up to Dallas. We trained in the Arlington area. And I was the flyweight, had to lose about 15 pounds, but I came in at flyweight at 135. And our team, the Dallas-Fort Worth Texans, our coach was Larry Castor, just a legend in Texas martial arts. And our heavyweight was a guy named George Bray. I didn't know George very well. He was out of Oklahoma. He was brought in to fight on our team. Our light heavyweight was Roy Curb, and everybody knows Roy, such a great reputation, such a great grandmaster. And he was the light heavy. The middleweight was Phil Wildman out of the Dallas area. The welterweight was Ray McCallum, and Demetrius Savannis was the lightweight, and then I was the flyweight. And we fought a great team. As a matter of fact, I think they were undefeated at the time, was the L.A. Stars, and their mainstay or their greatest fighter was a guy named Benny Urquidy, probably one of the greatest kickboxers of all time. And we fought against, George fought Ruben Urquidy. Raymond fought a great Thai kickboxer. And Ray at the time, a lot of people don't know this, was only 16 years old.
Did he win that match?
His mom. Won that match. Yes, he did. The only one that lost their match in the team match, everybody won their match except for Demetrius. And you got to, as great as Demetrius was as a karate fighter, he was still fighting one of the best kickboxing fighters of all time. I mean, in my estimation, probably the greatest kickboxer of all time because of what he was able to do and where he was able to fight. But the Greek still looked really, really good against him and lost a narrow decision. And 8 or 9 years later, I think it would have been a different fight with everything Demetrius learned as far as a boxer. But that was probably one of the highlights of my career, and that was like February 5th, 1975, so that was a long, long time ago.
Well, I know Blinky, he was a boxer also. And I know Benny, he boxed also. And
right.
You know, matching those two guys together, it's like splitting hairs who's going to be better. Like who's having a good day and who's having a bad day. And
exactly.
You are, but Greek, you know, he did become a pretty good boxer later on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's something I've always wanted to ask you because you're from Galveston, Texas, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you had a thriving school. Been in business for years, and then Galveston got wiped out. Could you tell everybody a little bit about what it's like living in Galveston and having a school there and all that stuff that happens to hurricanes?
I've been in Galveston all my life. I love Galveston. It's a nice, small community. Everybody knows everybody. And unfortunately, we have to deal with hurricanes during hurricane season. As a child, I've been through Hurricane Carla, Hurricane Alicia, and the latest was Hurricane Ike, of course, and of course probably another 50 or 60 that came along that weren't as bad. I've been in business 35 years in Galveston. I've had my schools have gone up and down, just like a fighter gets up and falls down. And I've had thriving schools, mega schools, where I've had almost 300 students. And I've had smaller schools when I first started off. Before the storm, before Alicia, I had about 160 students. And right now, 2 years later, I'm at about 100. So the community has lost a lot because Galveston has lost about 20% of its population. But it's building back up, and it's going to bounce back. And I'm happy to be from – I could go – many people years ago would always tell me because of my reputation I should move to Houston or Dallas or somewhere to open up a school, but I'm kind of a homeboy, kind of want to stay here. But we're doing well, and we're bouncing back to the community and our karate school, of course.
Well, do you think some of those people, that 20% that left, just said, okay, that's it, I can't take it anymore? Because that last hurricane that came through there was serious.
You know, Jeff, I stayed here for the storm. I haven't left for very many storms, and I stayed here for Hurricane Ike. And I have a home built in 1905 that's withstood a lot of hurricanes. And I stayed there alone. And what was scary, I guess, it was the surge. We've never had that before. The surge, I mean, 80% of Galveston was underwater. I had 4.5 feet of water in my studio. My house, when I walked out in the middle of the storm, actually not the middle, but the eye of the storm, was very quiet. My house is raised about 4 feet, and I was like sitting in the middle of a lake because the water had risen up.
Did it go over the porch or...
It hit the porch, and it came a little bit inside. A lot of it was wind-driven, but a little bit of the water came into the house.
Did you?
And I, of course, the second part of the storm, I stayed upstairs on the very top, me and my two dogs, and we were kind of wondering whether or not we were going to make it because the house was shaking and vibrating. So it was very interesting.
Did a guy in a boat pull up and said, "Ishmael, get in the boat. You're going to drown." You've heard that joke.
I went up to the second story. If I'd had to go to the attic, I would have probably...
Get in the helicopter. You're going to drown. And then you drowned. You say, "God, why didn't you save me?" He goes, "I sent you a boat and a helicopter." Yeah, that's funny.
That's an old story I use a lot.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Listen, let's take a little break here. We'll play a couple songs, and we'll be right back.
Okay,
this song coming up is Jerry Audley. The song is called Rolling On.
This road I'm on goes on and on and on. Every mile takes me further from my home. Gotta keep moving, gotta keep on rolling on. I'm moving like a freight train. I gotta keep rolling on. I lose sight of where I'm going, and I realize I gotta keep rolling on. I made a lot of wrong turns going down a nowhere road. I lost a lot of good friends to that cocaine and dope. I'm moving like a freight train. Gotta keep rolling on. But every time I look back, I lose sight then I realized I gotta keep rolling on. Taking everything I own. I'm standing at the crossroads, left praying for my soul. I'm moving like a freight train. Gotta keep rolling on. And every time I look back, I lose sight of where I'm going. And I realize I gotta keep rolling on.
All right, this next song is called Sundown by Jerry Audley.
There's a teenage boy pumping gasoline. He's got empty pockets and worn-out jeans. All the people downtown, when they pass him by, he's got a smile on his face and they don't know why. He's just waiting on sundown. Everything she needs, yeah. She's just waiting on sundown. A love she never wants to be without. Waiting on sundown. Hold that boy and know what life's about. Waiting on sundown. There's a teenage boy pumping gasoline, and he's the sweetest thing that she's ever seen. Just waiting on sundown. Got a love they never wanna be without. Just waiting on sundown. Got to hold that love to know what life's about. Just waiting on sundown. Gonna hold on close to know what life's about. sun on sundown. Oh yeah, just waiting on sundown. Oh no, just waiting on sundown.
Okay, everybody, this is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. We're back with Ishmael Robles, a former world champion kickboxer, boxer, and martial artist. Okay, it's one of the questions I want to ask you. Earlier you said you boxed. There's a lot of people that I've seen in my day that I've trained that were boxers, and they tried to make the transition to karate, and it wasn't as smooth. It didn't seem as appealing to them as they did doing full contact. What was that like for you when you made the transition?
Well, it was kind of not as hard as I thought it would be. And the reason being that when I was taught to box, I was just taught, I would fight a lot of smokers, and you would basically just get out there toe-to-toe with kids and just pound on them, and they'd pound on you, and you would just keep punching until you couldn't punch anymore. What I learned, actually, martial arts made me a better boxer because I was able to work more on 1-2 combinations. And I was really, because I know it had, particularly in the points, I know I had to focus on, instead of a combination where I would just throw a flurry of 20 or 30 punches, I was concentrating on throwing just 1 or 2 punches. So it made me a little bit more accurate in my punching ability. What really I enjoyed the most was the kicking, because I developed a pretty good roundhouse kick. Never had a side kick, but I had a good roundhouse kick. And I was able to put them in combinations. A lot of people that saw me fight, I think I was, some people would be punchers, some people would just be kickers, and I was able to kind of combine the two together. So I think it made me a better fighter overall. And then when the kickboxing came into play, you know, I started throwing a little bit, picking up the flurries a little bit more on the boxing. So a lot of that came back to me afterwards. So I was able to make the transition.
Well, would you say that karate gave you more of a knockout technique when you wanted to reach down and draw on that versus just throwing a lot of hand technique in boxing?
I would say it probably did, just because back in the day we used to practice a lot of, not a lot, but board breaking, and then you would learn to concentrate a lot of power into one punch. Towards the middle end of my career in kickboxing, I was known for an overhand right. And a lot of that was more footwork than anything, because I was able to step through on the punch and I was able to develop a lot of power with it. And again, it was the focus. I think martial arts gives a person a lot more focus on their techniques. Whereas boxing is, you just throw as much as you can. I mean, not to say boxing isn't an art, because it is. It's a science, and you have to know how to not only punch, but how to move around, how to stay away from your opponent, how to use strategy and things of that sort. But martial arts still teaches you how to do that 1-2 to really concentrate a lot.
Let me try to describe your right hand, because I throw it just like you do. It's like being in center field and Ricky Henderson's rounding second base, and you got to throw a line drive from center field to home plate. It's a tighter motion, but it's the same motion to step in and follow through with that right hand, just like throwing a baseball.
I would probably agree with you. When I teach, I had an opportunity to teach a seminar alongside of Benny Urquidy's the other day, and at Bushy Bond in Houston. And what I was teaching was not only how to throw the right, but how to use the footwork, because I can throw a good right hand from a standing position and shift the weight to the front leg and drop the punch in. But what I'm doing is I'm shifting the weight to the front leg, and then I'm stepping through with it. So I'm covering distance with it, because in martial arts we have to cover distance, because a lot of these kickers like to kind of create a distance between us. So it's a little bit different, but it's all basically the same, except, again, I've got my entire body behind it.
Oh, I agree. And you go elbow deep. I learned that by watching Jim Harrison. He said you got to go through a street fighter's head with your elbow. And it works every time. It knocks them down a lot. Well, I remember seeing your belt exam at the United States Championships last year with Troy Dorsey, and that video probably got more traffic than any martial arts video in recent history. I think everybody loved that more than anybody else. You and Troy were going toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
What did y'all do prior to that? Because I know everybody, if y'all haven't seen that video, do you have that on your Facebook page, Ishmael?
I don't have it on there right now. They took it off there. That's on Facebook.
No, they didn't. I think you go to photos, and it's photos and videos are combined. You can find it. It's probably still there. But I'm not sure if I have it on mine still or not, but it's the United States Championships. I think there's a fan page called the.
I saw that the other day. Yeah.
On the United States Championships fan page, if y'all look that up on Facebook, you can see it right there. But it's a hell of a video. How did you and Troy? Did y'all talk before y'all got out there and did that? Did y'all train together a little bit? I think y'all did.
We did absolutely. You know what? That goes back when my number one sparring partner for the longest time, and the best sparring partner I ever had was Troy Dorsey, because Troy was small, mobile, and he never stopped.
No, he didn't.
That guy is. That's why he was the greatest to me. One of the greatest kickboxers of all time, particularly from Texas.
He'd get inside
and
your chest.
Troy and I have been best friends forever. And I don't think, you know, when you have the relationship he and I do, I knew it was going to be just like, I couldn't have scripted it any better, because I knew once I got out there and threw the first hard punch, or he threw the first hard punch, I knew it was going to be a scrappy little fight.
I know both you guys are not as young as you used to be, but y'all could put on a hell of a demo match, like a three-rounder.
I think we looked younger. I've had friends look at it and say they couldn't believe how old I was when I did that, because I'm 59 now. I was 58 and a half when I did that. And that was my last hurrah, I think. I mean, I couldn't have gone out better. I had an opportunity to spar with my good friend Joe Gillum in a point match and did pretty well against him. And then to come back and finish it off with a good round with Troy Dorsey, that was the way for me to go. I've got friends that just show up, you know, at belt tests and get a rank like that just by showing up.
Well, you know,
but I wanted to be sure to do something.
When you and Troy were doing that fight, both you guys were 23. I don't care how you really are, because when y'all were doing that, it looked the exact same way y'all used to look. In other words,
thank you.
You know, for a minute or 3 minutes or however long y'all went, 2 minutes, y'all were 23 years old, because you couldn't see any fatigue, age. Nobody was missing any blocks. Y'all's defense is what was so impressive. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God dang, he covered up real well on that.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's take a little break. We'll come right back. This is Jeff Overturf with Ishmael Robles from Galveston, Texas, a former world champion in kickboxing and a great martial artist. We'll be right back. We're going to play a couple more songs here. Okay, this is Jerry Audley, and it's called I've Been Loving You.
I've been loving you too long. I don't want to stop now.
Listen, baby. You become a habit to me. I've been loving you too long. I don't wanna stop now. Thank you.
mind. Oh, I've been loving you. Please don't make me stumble now. I've been loving you. You got me down.
Okay, this next song coming up is called Where Losing You Hits Home by Jerry Audley.
After I punch out, the boss thinks that I'm bucking for a raise, but that's not what it's about. Sometimes I ride around to dawn anything to keep from going home to that big brick house on the corner lot with the finest things inside. You once said it was to die for. It's just where love died. It's got all the luxuries, and it's the last place I wanna be alone since you left this big old house. Is where losing you hits home. And a shelter from the rain. But there's no way that it can shelter me from the loneliness and pain. I guess I'll waste my time every way I know, till it's the last place that's left for me to go. That big brick house on the corner lot with the finest things inside. He once said it was to die for. Just where love died. It's got all the luxuries, and it's the last place I wanna be alone since you left. This big old house is where losing you hits home. got home. The luxuries, and it's the last place I wanna be alone. But since you left this big old house, is where losing you hits home. This big old house is where losing you hits home.
All right, everybody, this is Jeff Overturf for WTF Radio. Me. I'm back with Ishmael Robles from Galveston, Texas. I know recently, Ishmael, you got your grandmaster in karate at the U.S. Championships last year. What else do you have on your plate that's coming up as far as martial arts activity is concerned?
Well, I'm really excited that Joe Corley has called and confirmed that they're going to be inducting me into the Centurion Club at the Battle of Atlanta. Battle of Atlanta is one of the biggest karate tournaments in the world. And people that he's inducted into the Centurion Club are people like Chuck Norris and Evander Holyfield, Joe Louis, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, just all the top names in karate and in kickboxing. So to me, that's just icing on the cake after what I did in June and getting my eighth degree from Alan Steen. And a little bit on that is I had an opportunity, kind of makes me feel good, I had an opportunity to test under Grandmaster Steen for 8th, under Grandmaster Pat Burleson for 7th, and under Grandmaster June Rhee for 5th and 6th. So I feel like I've achieved the trifecta.
Yeah, that's
of,
the all-star lineup right there.
Grandmasters in Texas.
Oh, that well, plus June Rhee. I mean, that's off the hook. I mean, he's a guy that started everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have something you're going to be doing coming up in Atlanta, right?
That's what it is, the Centurion Club, Battle of Atlanta, and I'll be inducted, and it's really exciting. I've been to the Battle of Atlanta a couple of times. I'm taking my kids with me, and a lot of my good friends have let me know through Facebook that they're planning on going up there to see me get inducted.
So how many did you fight in the Battle of Atlanta?
I never fought in the Battle of Atlanta. Never
Neither did I. It's something I always regretted because it's such
too.
A big tournament.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what's going to be going on there? I mean, are they going to have a ceremony like at the finals or do you know?
That'll be it. That'll be a ceremony and an induction. I'm not sure. I know myself. This is, and maybe nobody else knows yet, but I think that I'm going to be inducted posthumously. Demetrius Vannis is going to be inducted, and I'm not sure who the other inductees are. So I'm kind of excited that I'll be on stage and the memory of Greek will be there too.
Well, not only is Ishmael a great fighter, one of his students, Regina, is one of the best female fighters I've ever seen. And I think she retired one of my brown belts. I was trying to get to go for black belt. I said, that's the girl you got to beat right there. I said, I even sent her a video of the U.S. Championships of 2008 when she was fighting on those team matches. I sent her that video about two or three times, and she choked. And I couldn't get it. That was it. That was the end of her career. And she was a great fighter. And I said, look, I think you have potential. What was it like fighing with, training Regina? I mean, that's got to be an honor and a great experience.
Regina is like a daughter to me. She actually lived with my ex-wife and I for a while. And I've had her since she was like about 9 years old. So I've been a second father to her. I've been, I think, a good influence, and we talk about it all the time. Regina is probably one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. She was an MVP on her basketball team in high school. And she is one of the smartest ladies I've ever seen. She's totally gone beyond me when it comes to sparring and point karate. I see her train people and how smart she is. And I can see now why she's the best female fighter in the world. She's been really consistent for about the last 15 years. She started off as a junior winning some NBL titles. I think she's got about 22 or 23 NBL titles. She's fighting on a national team, on an international team with Raymond Daniels and some of the other big shot fighters. And she's won Battle of Atlanta. She's won the Diamond National. She's won a lot of the NASCA events. And I had hoped she would have started that earlier. But she's still a dominant fighter. She just had a baby. She's just had a baby about a month and a half ago. But she says she's going to come back and she's going to fight again. So I'm looking for her to do it. If anyone can do it, she can. So I'm hoping to have her down here pretty soon so I can see the baby, my new grandchild, I think, but also so I can work out with her. And sparring with her, I tell you what, I can still handle myself, but it's pretty tough because she's so darn good and so elusive and such a really good fighter.
You know who fought you on the – I'd like to know your opinion. In two different eras, take Linda Denley and Regina, and both of them's prime, who would win? What would it be like?
See, I would have to be very biased, and I would say Regina. And let me just say this, not taking anything away from Linda Denley. To me, Linda Denley was one of the greatest fighters of all time. I think it's, sometimes it's unfair to do those kind of comparisons because I think younger fighters in every era, they get stronger, they get better, they get faster, they're more – it's like comparing boxers of this era back to the boxers back – you know, one of the great boxers from Galveston was Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion of the world.
I didn't know he came from Galveston.
So, yeah, he came from Galveston.
He was a badass.
So to put him in the ring against a Muhammad Ali or put him in against one of the Klitschko's would not – you know, it just – you couldn't do it. But I would, you know, as much as respect as I have for Linda Denley, I would pick Regina just because I look at Regina and see the ability she has, the strength and power she has, the durability she has. She's probably fought in more tournaments or as many tournaments as Linda did in her career, and Regina's still going. So
well, I thought for those of y'all
I'm going to try to be neutral, but I would.
I got you.
By
well,
little.
Well,
bit
I don't have to be neutral. I saw Linda Denley fight you and Troy at that belt exam. Is that correct?
Yeah.
She fought y'all like a man. No, she fought Troy. She fought Troy like a man. I mean, for an instant, Troy hit her upside the head. I don't remember what it was, and Linda just woke up, and she threw a combination. I was like, oh my God! I said, I've seen men that can't fight that good, and you know, she was almost like she was tough. And you know,
this is funny too. I mean, but I guess it should just show you how long I've been around. One of the people we inducted that night into the Walk of Fame for the U.S. was a friend named Phyllis Evans. And Phyllis was the first superstar out of the Texas area. She was a black belt to Pat Burleson, and she and I used to train together. And she was the same. She was just so tough. She didn't have the technique that Linda or Regina had, but she would pound on you, and I would hit her pretty hard sometimes, and she would never take a step back. That was a tough, tough lady, and she represented the blood and guts era of Texas.
Oh, she did.
As far as women.
I don't think she got beat for 17 years. I mean, she had the longest run that I can remember. You know, there was another great fighter here in Texas, a woman fighter, Joy Tuberville. Now, she didn't fight.
Joy, very good, yeah.
Yeah, she didn't fight as long. I always wonder what it would be like to get Linda and Joy together fighting, you know, maybe several years ago, but you know, because Joy, she was real blood and guts also.
Oh yeah.
All right. I tell you what, Ishmael, we're going to take a break here, or we're just. I tell you what, let's have you on another show in the future. What's just in this here right now? We're going to play some more music, folks. But this is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me and Ishmael Robles. Thank you for being on the show, Ishmael.
Thank you, Jeff. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll be getting back to you folks here in just a second, okay? Okay, for all you listeners out there that enjoyed the show with Ishmael Robles and myself on WTFRadio.me, go to WTFRadio.me and look for the donations button. We have donations of $10, $20, $50, and $100. It's called Value for Value. If you'd like to see us keep putting good talent like Ishmael on the show and other people, please help us out and we'll help you. Thank you very much from WTFRadio.me.
Today, I was thinking, and you crossed my mind. In the past of yesterday, man, it's been a long, long time. You can't look to tomorrow. You can't live in the past. You gotta change day by day, if you're ever gonna last.
forever. Lord, you couldn't tell by me. You walked away so easy. Lord, I can't, no, I can't break free. You can't look to tomorrow. You can't live in the past. Take it day by day. If you're ever gonna last, if you're ever gonna last.
All right, everybody, that was Jerry Audley. I'd like to thank Jerry for letting me use his music. He'll be playing at Wet Willie's up there in northwestern Fort Worth. It's a brand new club. I hear it's huge. I haven't been there myself, but I'm looking forward to it. But Jerry's a good Christian man, plays great music, and he's a damn good entertainer. And I'd like to thank Ishmael Robles for giving me a good interview and having a good talk show with me. So this is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me signing off.